Tonight we are looking at Belgic Confession Article 35. Article 35, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. You can find that on page 868. 868 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnal. And I will read this article for us. We believe and confess that our Savior Jesus Christ has ordained and instituted the sacrament of the Holy Supper to nourish and sustain those who are already born again and engrafted into His family, His Church. Now, those who are born again have two lives in them. The one is physical and temporal. They have it from the moment of their first birth, and it is common to all. The other is spiritual and heavenly, and is given to them in their second birth. It comes through the word of the gospel and the communion of the body of Christ, and this life is common to God's elect only. Thus, to support the physical and earthly life, God has prescribed for us an appropriate earthly and material bread, which is as common to all as life itself also is. But to maintain the spiritual and heavenly life that belongs to believers, He has sent a living bread that came down from heaven, namely Jesus Christ, who nourishes and maintains the spiritual life of believers when eaten, that is, when appropriated and received spiritually by faith. To represent to us this spiritual and heavenly bread, Christ has instituted an earthly and visible bread as the sacrament of His body and wine as the sacrament of His blood. He did this to testify to us that just as truly as we take and hold the sacraments in our hands and drink the drink, drink it in our mouths by which our life is then sustained, so truly we receive into our souls, for our spiritual life, the true body and true blood of Christ, our only Savior. We receive these by faith, which is the hand and mouth of our souls. Now it is certain that Jesus Christ did not prescribe His sacraments for us in vain, since He works in us all He represents by these holy signs, although the manner in which He does it goes beyond our understanding and is incomprehensible to us, just as the operation of God's Spirit is hidden and incomprehensible. Yet we do not go wrong when we say that what is eaten is Christ's own natural body, and what is drunk is His own blood. But the manner in which we eat is not by the mouth, but by the Spirit, through faith. In that way, Jesus Christ remains always seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But He never refrains on that account to communicate Himself to us through faith. This banquet is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates Himself to us with all His benefits. At that table He makes us enjoy Himself as much as the merits of His suffering and death, as He nourishes, strengthens, and comforts our poor, desolate souls by the eating of His flesh and relieves and renews them by the drinking of His blood. Moreover, though the sacraments and the things signified are joined together, not all receive both of them. The wicked person certainly takes the sacrament to his condemnation, but does not receive the truth of the sacrament, just as Judas and Simon the sorcerer both indeed received the sacrament, but not Christ, who was signified by it. He is communicated only to believers. Finally, with humility and reverence, we receive the Holy Sacrament in the gathering of God's people as we engage together with thanksgiving in a holy remembrance of the death of Christ our Savior, and as we thus confess our faith and Christian religion. Therefore, no one should come to this table without examining himself carefully, lest by eating this bread and drinking this cup, he eat and drink to his own judgment. In short, By the use of this holy sacrament, we are moved to a fervent love of God and our neighbors. Therefore, we reject as desecrations of the sacrament all the muddled ideas and damnable inventions that men have added and mixed in with them. And we say that we should be content with the procedure that Christ and the apostles have taught us, and speak of these things as they have spoken of them. Our passage this evening is Matthew 26. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 26. And once you found that, you can also turn over to John chapter 6. Matthew 26 and John 6. Before we turn our attention to God's word this evening, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 26. Let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now we turn over to John chapter 6, beginning with verse 48. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, as you probably noticed as we were reading Article 35, it is the longest article in the Belgic Confession. And the reason for that is because during the Reformation, one of the greatest discussions or even controversies taking place was over the Lord's Supper. How is Christ present at the supper? During the Reformation, the Protestant churches were removing themselves from the Roman Catholic Church, which believes that the bread and the wine literally turn into the body and blood of Jesus. The Catholic theologian named Radbertist claimed that the bread and the wine were changed into the very body and blood of Christ, born of Mary. But once that Reformation took place, then within the Protestant churches, there was also a division. Martin Luther strongly believed that when Jesus said, "This is my body," it was literally his body. Not the way that the Roman Catholics saw the bread and the wine transformed into Christ's corpse or flesh and blood, but Luther explained it as consubstantiation, that somehow Christ is physically present when the meal is celebrated. On the other end of the spectrum, you have the followers of Zwingli, who looked at the supper simply as a way to remember what Christ had accomplished. Remembering. It wasn't necessary that Christ was present at the supper in one way or the other, but rather that we remember his work. And then John Calvin takes the middle ground, right between the literal physical body of Luther and the memorial, or its just remembering view of the Zwinglians. Calvin explains Christ is spiritually present at the supper. The physical eating and drinking of bread and wine in our mouth is us receiving Christ spiritually in our souls by faith. So Christ is truly, literally, present at the supper as we receive him spiritually by faith through the physical elements of bread and wine. We have to realize that at this point, these three men, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, and their successors were trying to hold the Reformed churches together. You have three branches of the Reformation that at this point pretty much agree on every point of doctrine except on whether the true body and blood of Christ is present, bodily present, at the supper. And as a result, we end up with Lutherans who believe that a literal physical body of Christ is present at the supper. Calvinists, or the Reformed view, that Christ is really spiritually present at the supper and received by faith. And the Zwinglians, who look at it as a memorial or a remembrance of Christ's death. And today, by and large, a majority of Christians probably hold that third perspective, that when you're celebrating the supper, it's about remembering. I mean, you have it on the table, this do in remembrance of me. And that might be the way that many of us thought about the Lord's Supper. It's a reminder of what Christ has done. And what we need to realize is that while it is a remembering the work of Christ, it's even more than that. Because Christ is present. When we celebrate the supper together, Christ is present. As we eat the bread, as we drink the cup, we are partaking of Christ and receiving him by faith. I can remember asking one of my seminary professors, "So does that mean that Christ is present when we celebrate the supper in a way that he isn't present every other day of the week or even throughout our worship service?" And his simple answer was, yes. And we're going to see what that means specifically as we work our way through this article. Article 35 can be roughly divided into three sections, three parts. Tonight we're going to look at the first part, which is the reason or the purpose of the supper. The next section covers what exactly happens during the supper, what takes place during communion, and it gets at how Christ is present and the work that he is doing. And then the final section of the article ends by discussing who participates in the Lord's Supper. What does proper participation in communion? Who should come to the Lord's table? And so tonight we're looking at the reason for the Lord's Supper, the purpose of communion. And if you want the simple answer, what is the reason for the Lord's Supper? What is the purpose of communion? The simple answer is to give us Christ. To give us Christ. If you want the longer definition, it's to represent to us this spiritual and heavenly bread. Christ has instituted an earthly, invisible bread as the sacrament of his body and wine as the sacrament of his blood. And as we look at our passage tonight, what we will see is that one, Christ is really there. Two, we really receive him. And three, our souls are really fed. And so first, Christ is really there. Verse 56, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Here Christ is describing the realness of his flesh and blood. And for many, flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. And then the realness of our connection with him. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, abides in me. There's that favorite phrase of John, as we saw in 1 John, abiding in Christ. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. There you have that union, that oneness. And that is the way that our faith is strengthened and our faith is assured. The assurance that we gain from the Lord's Supper and how our faith is strengthened by communion. What does Article 35 say? To represent to us this spiritual and heavenly bread, Christ has instituted an earthly and visible bread as the sacrament of his body and wine as the sacrament of his blood. Now, why would Christ do this? Why does he give us this supper to celebrate? Why does he give us these everyday elements that point to these spiritual realities? Well, he did this in order to testify to us that just as truly as we take hold of the sacraments in our hand, just as real as us eating the bread and drinking the wine with our mouth, but by which our physical life is sustained, so real, just as real is us receiving in our souls for our spiritual life the true body and true blood of Christ, our only Savior. We receive these things by faith, which is the hand and the mouth of our souls. Do you see the bread? Do you see it on the tray? Do you touch it? Do you hold it? Do you taste it? Do you chew it? Is it real? Well, yeah, of course it's real. Do you see the wine? Do you see it in the tray as it goes by? Do you smell it? Do you taste it? Is it real? Yeah, of course it's real. Just as real is the salvation that has been accomplished for you by Jesus Christ, his body, his blood shed for you. And that spiritual reality is pointed to by these simple physical elements, pointing to the spiritual reality. I once talked to a pastor. He told me about two grandparents who had taken a trip to Israel. And they had come back to Israel and they had brought back with them some water from the Jordan River. Their grandson was going to be baptized and they had brought some water back and they wanted the pastor to use that water from the Jordan River. The same water that Jesus was baptized in. And the pastor did something really shocking. He took that bottle of water from this couple and he dumped it out right onto his office floor. Because they had turned the water into an idol. They were more focused on that water than they were on what the water was pointing to. They had turned a common element into an idol, that if our grandson got baptized with water from the Jordan River, somehow that was more special than if we just used regular tap water. It's just ordinary regular elements pointing to the spiritual reality that is being signified. It's not about the water. It's the sign pointing to the spiritual reality of Christ washing us with his blood. Same with the bread and the wine, regular physical bread, regular physical, pointing to the spiritual reality of our souls being nourished with Christ. Heidelberg Catechism asks, how does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? The Lord's Supper is assurance or a reassurance for our weak faith. We have this sacrament to see and to touch. Jesus gives us a visual aid, something to strengthen us. We can see the bread, we can see the cup, and as surely as you chew the bread and drink the drink, as see it, touch it, taste it, that's how real, that's how certain is the fact that Christ has died for you. His death and his resurrection is as real as the bread you hold in your hand and the wine that you take and drink. Just as real as the bread and as the wine, these elements, is the fact that Christ is really there, the eternal life that we have in Christ. John 6, verse 54. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As we wrap our minds around what Christ is teaching us here, we need to keep in mind the difference between what is real and what is literal. What is real and what is literal. When Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, he isn't literally saying that he is a grapevine and we are branches. He's speaking metaphorically. When Jesus describes himself as bread, he isn't literally saying that he is, in fact, a literal loaf of bread. He's speaking figuratively. And many of us can wrap our minds around that and understand that. When he's speaking here of eating his flesh, we can, in fact, really be communing with Christ, spiritually speaking, without literally chewing a piece of his flesh, cannibalistic style. That's the difference. We are partaking by faith, a faith that is real, even though we're not literally eating his flesh or literally drinking his blood. Jesus here in John is speaking very graphically. I mean, the reason he lost so many disciples, look at verse 52. The Jews then disputed among themselves. They're thinking literally here. What is he telling us to do? How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus takes it to the next level. And he says, if you're not, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood, whoever chews, I mean, he's speaking very graphically here. Whoever chews on my flesh, my tissues, has eternal life. Whoever drinks, takes in my blood, has that eternal life. And what he's getting at is us taking him in, us abiding in him, that union, that oneness. But his followers aren't understanding that or aren't getting that. The bottom of this chapter here towards the end, verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Then he asked the 12, do you want to go away as well? They're leaving. They're thinking he's talking about eating his flesh. Literally. When he's talking about communing with him spiritually. It's graphic. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. The other gospels tone it down again, as we saw in Matthew 26. Take and eat, this is my body. And he's saying that to his disciples as he's handing them a piece of bread. He didn't say, take and eat, this is literally my body, and rip off a piece of his flesh and hand it to them. No, take and eat, this is my body, and he's handing them a loaf. Take and drink, this is the blood of my covenant, and he's handing them the fruit of the vine. He didn't fill up a glass with his blood, he's handing them wine. So in Matthew, you see how it's not literally a piece of Jesus' flesh that's being eaten. And in that way, the supper assures us that we share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross. Just as truly as we take hold of the sacrament in our hand and eat and drink with our mouth, by which our physical life is sustained, so truly, in a similar way, we receive into our souls for the spiritual life, the true body and the true blood of Christ, our only Savior. We receive these by faith, which is the hand and the mouth of our souls, the Belgic points out. And when the what if questions attack us, attack our faith, what if I'm not a believer? What if I'm not a Christian? What if I'm not saved? We have this sacrament which we can see and touch and taste to give us assurance. Sacraments are the best visual aids that the church has because it's the one that Christ gave us to use. And so the first blessing for us in the supper is the assurance of our faith, that we really receive Christ, that Christ is really there. And secondly, that we really receive him. We've just seen how Christ's flesh is real food. How he says, my blood is real drink. And next is how through communion, our connection, our union with Christ grows. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And so in light of that, well, what is the point of the Lord's Supper? Well, you could say that it's proof that we are united with Christ. That we are one with Christ. John Calvin, as he looks at John 6, he says that John 6 has something to do with communion, but that it's not a systematic lecture about communion. It's not instruction on proper participation in the Lord's Supper like 1 Corinthians 11 is. But what Jesus says here in John 6, while he's not specifically talking about the Lord's Supper, it does enrich our understanding of what's happening in the Lord's Supper. The communion that's taking place. This passage is not about the supper specifically, but rather it's explaining how we are united with Christ. And out of all of the analogies, when we're looking at John 6, out of all of the analogies that Christ could have used in describing our union with him, our oneness with him, he could have used the vine and the branches analogy or a lot of other analogies. He chooses to describe or use eating and drinking. Bread and wine, the same that's used in the supper. It's not that we are just grafted or spliced into Christ. He has nourished us, fed us with himself. We have taken him in. He is part of who we are, and we are part of him. Earlier in our passage, verse 27, Jesus explains that food perishes. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. So you can imagine everyone who's sitting there listening to Jesus' teaching here, well, they're thinking and wanting this everlasting food. Oh, food that never perishes? Sure, I'll take some of that. Verse 34, they say to him, Sir, give us this bread always. I want some of that bread that doesn't rot or go stale or get moldy. And then he turns things on him and, well, it's me. Surprise, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Now, is this some kind of cannibalistic flesh eating or blood drinking? Like I mentioned, that's how the Jews were looking at it. They were hearing this literally, that Jesus was going to give his flesh to eat in verse 52. But what we see is that real food doesn't mean that it's literally his flesh and his blood. Instead, it's the real and personal presence of Christ, not his literal body or corpse of Christ in the Belgic. His body is at the right hand of God the Father. Christ is in heaven. Where's Jesus? He's in heaven, ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And we are united with Christ, who is glorified in heaven, by the Holy Spirit. It's the mysterious role of the Holy Spirit to make the heavenly Christ present to us, and us present to him. And that's why our partaking must be spiritual. Our union with Christ is sealed and guaranteed by the Spirit. The Spirit bridges earth and heaven. Christ is absent from us, but like we saw this morning, he is still with us. Surely I am with you always. I will send a counselor, and he fills us with the Holy Spirit, uniting us with him. When Christ says that the bread and the wine is his body and blood, Calvin explains this as a figure of speech. This is my body. This is not a metaphor. Jesus isn't saying that his body is like bread. It's not that his body is similar to bread. It's closer. It's more real than that. In eating the bread, we are spiritually receiving Christ. Robert Bruce was a Scottish man who lived back in 1589. So that's about 75 years after Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg chapel door. And here's how Robert Bruce explains it. As soon as you receive the wine in your mouth, you receive the blood of Christ in your soul, and that by faith. He goes on to explain the connection between what the sacraments signify and the reality, our union and communion with Christ. And he's basically saying that it is more than just signifying or referring. Communion is more than just remembering. Think about it this way. As we think about communion being more than just remembering Christ, if we look at a picture of our family member, we remember them. We're reminded of them. That picture of great-grandma and great-grandma reminds you of a time you went and visited them. You remember the things they said to you, the things they did, the smell of their house even. But what Bruce is pointing out is that if therefore the sign of the sacrament did no more than that, if sacraments were just about us remembering Christ, then you could say that every picture is a sacrament because it helps us remember. And the difference is that communion is more than just remembering and thinking about Jesus, because communion actually delivers to us what it's indicating or pointing to. It delivers what it is signifying. That picture of great-grandma and great-grandpa doesn't actually deliver them to you, but in communion, we are given Christ himself. This is my body. Not this is a sign of what is not here or absent, but in the experience of taking this bread, Christ is delivered to us. In the experience of taking this wine, Christ is delivered to us. Our souls are really fed. That's our third and our final point as we conclude this evening. John 6 is about eating and drinking, about feeding and being nourished, not just temporarily, but eternally. What do we get out of this meal? Well, our weak faith is strengthened. We grow in Christ. Our faith grows in Christ. Our souls are fed. We believe and confess that our Savior, Jesus Christ, has ordained and instituted the sacrament of the Holy Supper to nourish and sustain those who are already regenerated and engrafted into his family, which is the church. This is how we are fed. This is how we are spiritually nourished. Those who are born again have a spiritual and a heavenly life. And that life is supported and maintained and nourished by the living bread. I am the bread of life, Jesus tells us. He describes himself as the bread and then points out that the Israelites ate manna in the desert and yet they died. But he is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives eternal life. That's verses 48 through 51. God has sent a living bread that came down from heaven, Jesus Christ, who nourishes and maintains the spiritual life of believers when eaten. That is, when appropriated and received spiritually by faith. And that's the purpose of communion, the Lord's Supper. It's more than just remembering. It's more than just a mental thing. Oh, I understand the gospel now. I'm reminded of what Christ has done one more time. It is that, but it's also the spiritual reality of being assured that Christ's sacrifice was for us, that we are one, that we are united with him, and that he nourishes us by his crucified body and poured out blood. So Christ is truly, really, you could even say literally, present at the supper as we receive him spiritually by faith through the physical elements of bread and wine. Christ is really there. We really receive him. And our souls are really fed. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this evening praising you and thanking you for giving us bread and wine, ordinary physical elements that point to the spiritual reality that is ours in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that through the gospel proclaimed and the gospel celebrated in communion, our faith will be strengthened. Our souls will be fed with the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray this evening. Amen.